Amen. Thank the Lord Jesus passed by. Enjoy the song service this morning. Very much at the conclusion of the service, Major Smith's son is going to be sharing with us some work that God has put in his life, wonderful work, and we'll be having that after I preach. But this morning, if you will, let's go to God and his precious word and open up the Bibles in Psalms 127. 127, the book of Psalms. That was studying this particular portion of God's Word. He led me into a different direction, but this is still the place He wants us to begin the message this morning. Psalms 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh. The scripture indicates and lets us know that God's the one that is building. He's the sure foundation. We come to Him this morning. We welcome everyone again. We thank God for this day that our nation honors as Father's Day. And where would we be today except God has sent us godly fathers? You may have had a father in your life that was one inspiration to you that took you to the house of God, prayed and sought the things of God for your life. If you were in that category, blessed are you. But I realize everyone here maybe did not have a godly father, but maybe had a godly grandparent. I was blessed. I had both godly parents and godly grandparents on both sides, and I was blessed. And God now is letting us know, even though you may have been born with wonderful, wonderful parents and grandparents, it's still God that built it. When I first came to church here 27 plus years ago, I realized that I couldn't do anything. So I just read this verse of Scripture, and the Scripture said, I'd be laboring in vain if I thought I could do anything. I'll just kind of step out of the way and wait for Him to lead and guide, because He's the builder. Unless the Lord build a house, all our labor is in vain. When God's in it, not only is He the builder, but He is the watchman. He continues. He said, it is vain for you to rise up early, to set up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. I found that we can have sleep during this process while God is doing His work, instead of worrying and fretting and trying to do something build the kingdom of God. Just lean back in Him and rest in Him and go along with Him. Remember, we're not leading. He is leading. We're following. But then He talks about children. Blessed are the children that have godly parents. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so our children are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, and they shall speak with the enemies in the play, in the gate. About three things, then we'll go from this chapter. In the book of Psalms 127, we'll go to the New Testament. We'll look at Acts chapter 27. But look what he's talking about. He's talking about fathers. He's talking about the father that God has given you children. We ought to be happy. We ought to be counting them as the offspring that God has given him. In this world, there's so much to be done, and our arms are only so long. But God has given those children. He calls them as arrows in the quiver of the mighty man. And after we are unable to do what we want to do and strive to do, realizing we can only do what God allows us to do, He gives us children. And those children are an extension of our hands. And if you line your children up hand to hand, you can reach a long way. And that's what we're to do as parents. We're to rear our children and protect them. And then let God lead the way. Look what He says about heritage. He says, children are a heritage of the Lord. He uses that word, Lord, which means in the Hebrew, Jehovah, the existing one. And God is the one that has given us His children, And all children are a heritage of the Lord. And so many times we see families, individuals, losing their children, so to speak. You protect them while they're home. They're like the arrows in your quiver. If that was the only means, and you were going out hunting to provide meat for your family, as the early pioneers no doubt did, then you would protect those arrows. If you shot one and missed, you, and it went astray, you would keep looking until you found the arrow. And he said the children are a heritage of the Lord. But so many times the storms come, the winds blow, and whatever reason it is, those children go astray. They're not following. And it seems as though maybe you look back at your own life and you question, did I rear them in the house of God like God told me to? I've heard people say, yes, I did, but my children still went astray. And many times, inquiring deeper into that, there were some reasons they went astray. It's not just taking them to the house of God, but it's a 24-hour day, 7 days a week thing that we have to rear them in the pattern God wants us to, in the precepts. It's not just taking them to the house of God, it's much more than that. And even though we as parents hopefully do the very best we can, seems as though a storm comes, maybe when they get out of school and go to college, maybe it's before that, but a storm comes and their whole life is shipwrecked. And that's what I want to talk to you about in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts this morning. There was a voyage that was going to take place. God had told Paul, you're going to Rome. You've been a faithful servant. You've witnessed for me, and you have been used of me to expound the gospel, even write a good portion of the New Testament. And I'm not through with you. Paul, I'm going to send you to Rome. It'll be a rough voyage. But to Rome you go because this witness that I've put in your heart, to witness for me wherever you go. I know you'll be faithful when you get to Rome. You'll be a witness too. And God's got a pattern for our life. He's got a principle for our life. And when we do the very best we can, it seems as though Satan is still fighting. I want to speak to you this morning about shipwreck in the harbor. Oh, they went out through a stormy sea, but it was in the harbor where the ship was torn apart. And so God, as I was reading this portion, God, he wanted me to bring this Father's Day message to fathers and to children. And let's look at some reasons in this chapter. And we understand why the ship was broken in the harbor. About three principles of this. First of all, verse 10, chapter 27 of the book of Acts. Remember now, they're on a voyage. Paul is a prisoner. There's other prisoners on the ship, and there's a captain on the ship that's responsible for all these prisoners. And then the ship is laden with wheat and other produce, so it's having a dual role. It's traveling to Rome with prisoners and with produce. Many souls are on this ship. And now, later on in the text, we're going to find out that the ship was broken in the harbor. And many times the children, as we heard in 127th division of the Psalms, children as they are arrows in the quiver, the mighty man, heritage of the Lord, and we're supposed to be happy with those. But yet, seemingly, something goes bad and they get shipwrecked. Sometimes fathers get shipwrecked. And if they do, the children are pretty sure they'll go shipwrecked too. But let's reason, first of all, and look at reasons why this ship even went through a storm. Verse 10 explains that. And he said to him, now I look first at verse 8. And it came to pass, wrong chapter. Verse 9. But Festus, get it in a minute. Have you ever had problems with your reading glasses? It seems like my left eye is not following suit this morning. Okay. Chapter 27, verse 9. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said to them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the laden and ship, but also of our lives. A warning from God through Paul that this voyage you're taking at this time of year is very dangerous." So we're looking at reasons the ship was in the storm. And the only thing you can conclude from this, it was a disregard for the word from God. So why do children and why do fathers and why do families get shipwrecked in the harbor, not far from their own home, or perhaps just a few steps away? Could be in the pews of a sanctuary in the church somewhere. But for whatever reason, the main reason that this text shows us, and the main reason that children and parents, and we all go astray, is a disregard because of the word of God has spoken, and people proceed in the voyage of life. Had they not done this and disregarded the word of God, they would not have been in the storm. So why the storms come? For the most part, not always, God can and will send a storm to your life to correct you. A warning is a lot of reason, but in this storm, we're used as an illustration. Why do families and parents and children go astray? Disregard for the word of God. But look what else it says in verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. See, they had some other motives. The ship was laden with produce, and the captain had no desire to stay there in winter in that particular place because he had prisoners. If they stayed, he had to feed them, he had to nurture them, he had to guard them. So it's a lot of reasons, see, that families and children go astray, but most of all it's because they did not regard and they disregarded the precious word from the Lord. Not only that, but let's look at another reason that they were in the storm. We see in verse 12 that there is a desire for a more commodious, a more convenient situation. Why do some families drop out of church? Why do some families get irritated and aggravated and even mad and get out of church and take their family out of church? Well, it's for desire for more convenient settings. Why do a lot of people leave a church that preaches the gospel and go to a contemporary church or one that promotes a lot of other things, social activities, more than the word of God? Let's look at verse 12 and we'll see. It's because they have a desire for a more convenient setting. Verse 12 says, "And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest." So they said, this place that we're at now, it's not convenient. We have a desire in their heart to go farther. And why do children and why do parents go into a storm? Disregard for the word of God. And the desire in their heart, not from God, a worldly desire that will go somewhere else. And we will winter, we will have a life of luxury and ease. And that's fine and dandy as long as you put God first. But in so doing, when they depart and go out to the stormy seas, there's going to be some things happen. And this is a reason the Bible says that a shipwreck often occurs in the family somewhere. And it's usually in the harbor, in the parameter of their own home. But not only that, let's look, second of all, that they are ready to accept the premise or the thought that there's a more convenient thing for their lives and still stay true to God. But you see, the scripture indicates in verse 13, there are some indications that come to show it's a false premise. Verse 13 says, and when the south wind blew softly. Imagine here a ship is sitting in the harbor and they've been warned of God, if you go, you're going to risk losing your produce, the lives of your people. They disregarded word from God because of the desire in their heart to have a more commodious, convenient place. But now they are willing to accept a false premise that there will be more appealing surroundings farther on. Not a desire to stay with God, but the desire to leave the things and go out on the stormy sea. That's well and good if God directs your path that way, but God is warning against it. Yet, verse 13 says, south wind blew softly. Oh, it sounds so good. It looks so good. And they supposedly that they had obtained their purpose. They loosed tent. They sailed close by Crete. The deceptive wind that they're blowing. Here there's more commodious, there's more advantageous reasons by departing the things of God and going somewhere else where there's more lively situations going on in their life where they can have a happy, feel-good feeling. And that's well and good if it begins in the soul. But there's so much anymore that's got a skin deep. And as soon as you walk out the doors of a church, that skin deep feeling is departed. Why? It never penetrated to the heart. But say more commodious. It looks more appealing. Soft wind gently blowing. And they suppose a deceptive wind that's blowing. But see, that supposing appeals to the flesh, not to the spirit. And when we follow the flesh, remember what happens when you come to Jesus Christ? You crucify the flesh. There's nothing good about the flesh. We are a soul inhabited in a body with a spirit that longs for God. And yet, the soul is the only part of man that gets saved. You see, my flesh isn't saved. It won't be until the Lord gives me that glorified body. But I have greater is He that's within me than he that's within the world. I'm saved. I'm headed home because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm a citizen of a place called heaven. I still have a fleshly feeling. One that supposes. One that looks ahead and lets the winds blow of deception so often in their life. Satan is a deceiver. But not only that, notice the last part of the verse. They sail close by Crete. Well, I'll get out of church and I'll forsake the things of God, but I'll stay close by. Still in the harbor. Hey, may I remind you that there was going to be a shipwreck in the harbor. A storm was coming. Why? Because they disregarded the word of God. Why were they in that storm? Storms come all around. We don't have to be in them. And if we disregard the things of God and we have a desire to appetize, let the appetites of the world be more to us than the things of God, then we turn loose from this and we start sailing, supposedly, because it's off winter blowing, it looks good. But they stay close. Remember? And a lot of people want to do that will. And I've got a lot I could say, but I'm not going there. I don't have time. But I want to look at next of all. Not only have they had a reason, they thought, and they were ready to accept a false premise, but I want to look at results of this misgiving. There are results and consequences to every decision we make. And now they were headed that direction, staying close to the shore in case something happened. But yeah, if they had not disregarded, if they had not had that desire of the flesh, this would not have happened. Let's look at some results now that's going to quickly happen. Verse 14. What's going to be the result? Now, this ship could have stayed in the harbor. People could have stayed with God. They could have not left the family. Some children do. I'm talking about not only leaving home, which we ought to do when we get married and all that. I'm talking about leaving the things of God. Put more importance on something else than we do the things of God. May I remind you, there are results of these misgivings as found in verse 14 through 20. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Tempestuous, in the Greek, that's the only time God used it in the whole Bible. Sent by God, a tempestuous wind. A wind that is aimed at them. It's not just a general hurricane that's coming and if you're, no. Tempestuous means set against their ship by God to them because they had had the misgiving and they had had a fleshly desire, same as children today and same as parents, a fleshly desire to obey the things of God. I've had radio stations over years call me and tell me that, I remember years ago, Western Carolina University, they were having, so the announcer told me, they wanted me to bring the youth of our church down there, and they had alternative Christian music. And I was novice, I didn't understand, and I said, what do you mean alternative gospel music? Well, it's not traditional and it's not what your kids grew up on, but you know they're going to listen to worldly music. So I listened to them a while. I said, yeah, tell me when it is and where it is. He told me, I said, thank you. Now I can warn them not to go. He said, wait a minute. Don't you know your children and your church children will be listening to worse than that, rock and roll? I said, they probably will. But one thing's about it, when God convicts them, they'll have somewhere to come back that still stood the test of time. They're going to get tired of that worldliness. But you see, I'm not going to let my children, and I'm going to warn them, don't you go out of this misgiving of the soft wind blowing. They're going to have a real deal when they get that conviction. If I go along with it, we're staying close to the shore, all right. Hey, don't get the storm. Don't disobey and disrespect the Word of God. Music that uplifts the name of Jesus and doesn't appeal to the flesh first. That's what God wants. Making music in your heart, giving God the glory and the praise. I didn't expect to go this way, but, and then that word Euroclydon, it's the only time it's used also in the Greek, by a tempestuous, the wind directed that ship to teach them there can be shipwreck in the harbor if you have disrespect for the things of God. You don't regard the Word of God. And you reason in your heart. And you get deceived by misconception that other things other than the true Word of God will last. That's why you get in the storm. But let's look at the results now. Verse 15. But when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. When those soft winds turn to tempestuous winds, you can't control it. There's only one source of reason. And that God will be merciful. And God will help us understand the lesson He's given us. And there will be, breaking apart. Families break apart. Things happen. But thank God, grace still available. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, had much work to come by the boat. When they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strike sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out our own hand the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. The result of the misgiving of the soft winds that would stay soft, and not violent because of distrust, because of disrespect, because of disregarding the things of God, and going with their own reasoning and what they supposed would happen if they didn't obey the Word of God, had turned into a tempestuous, violent storm called Euroclydon. And now all hope was gone. May I remind you that in this life, we're all men most miserable, and the only hope there is one hope, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah, families do get scattered, and for whatever reason, children fall out with their parents, and parents fall out with their children. All these things happen. Why? Because they wouldn't stay with the Word of God, and they went out into the sea, and the storm was sent in their direction. So we're looking at a shipwreck falling in the harbor. But let's look lastly at the redeeming grace of God. Now there was one person on the ship that had warned not to go, but at the same time he was a person that knew that even though they disobeyed the Word of God, as many of you do, and I have done too, disregard for the Word of God. Is that not the reason most storms come in their life? Well, they're in it now. How do we react? Well, remember Paul went down and someone showed up with him to tell him, Paul, if you obey me and let everyone know that nothing's going to happen, yeah, the ship will be broken. But I want you to cast those four anchors down from the stern of the ship. By the way, that's the end of Brothers On. And they're in this ship now. And the storm came and broke. But they all escaped safely. Paul said, if you stay on the ship. And some of the soldiers, under disguise, under color, the scripture says, they went in and said, we know that if we stay on this ship, we're going to be shipwrecked. So let's lower down those lifeboats. And of course, God knew what they were doing. Paul understood and told the captain, if any man leaves this ship, they won't be saved. Hey, listen. There's one way to get to heaven. The old ship of Zion. And even though we're in the storms of life so often, when people depart, there is grace and favor with God and mercy from God if we will abide in the truth of His Word. The old ship of Zion. If you leave, you're going to perish. Hey, listen, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we stay on the ship. So they cut the ropes. Now all other support was gone. Hey, you can't have another way to get to heaven. A lot of people said there's a lot of ways to get to heaven. There's one way to get to heaven. That's what God said through His Son, Jesus Christ. And all the other little lifeboats and all the other things that you can do with your good works and everything, you're going to perish in the storm. Those that stay on. And then the storm came and it broke apart and they all sailed land. Why? Because there was one man on the ship that told them about the redeeming grace of God. And thank God there's still the Word of God that's preached, that's proclaimed. And we have this truth in God's Word. That even though there's many shipwrecks of families and of individuals because of the storm that God will send, they did not have to go in the storm. Reason? Disregard the Word of God. Fleshly desire. And then they were deceived because they saw that soft wind and they started supposing, I can make it without God's help. I can make it through the storms of life without the book, without what God said. No, you can't disregard. And the reason families are perishing and going through shipwreck is because somewhere, sometime, they disregarded and disrespected and had a fleshly desire that will go another way. Thank God those that stayed on the ship until the ship was broken. Hey, the Lord's soon coming, and we're still going. But the question is, as you stand this morning, are you on that salvation ship? Is your life filled with Christ and God? Are you anchored in Christ Jesus? The anchor holds in the time of storm. Would you please come and sing in his song of invitation, Brother Randy, in song of invitation. And after this, we'll soon not leave. Remember, we've got a guest speaker this morning. I've been brief as I could, but this is the most important time of the morning for you as an individual, as a family. Stay on board the old gospel ship of Zion. I know there's things appealing out there. It seems more commodious, more convenient. Stay with the ship of Zion. Don't disrespect and dishonor the things of God in your life. Whatever your need is this morning, would you please come bow before Him? Don't let your family and individuals be shipwrecked in the harbor. That's where the ship was broken, in the harbor. The tempestuous, rockless and stormy winds that beat against the ship out in the middle of the ocean, that's not what broke them apart. They got broken apart in the harbor. Oh, they stayed close, all right. They need not have gone to the storm. Don't disrespect and disregard the things of God in your life. Shipwreck your family. You may have already been shipwrecked. But remember, redeeming grace of God brought them all back on an island. And then he got saved there. And some were healed. God's in the healing and cleansing business. Would you come this morning, Brother Randy?